Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries with Life Support Outreach Church, along with the Prayer Room Ministry. And we are getting ready to go into our Bible study on tonight, study of God's Word. We're going to get ready to, we're going to call our worship to order. I just give reverence to God, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to all of you tonight. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our worship to order. Now, we're going to have a short devotional period, and after that, we'll go into the Word of God. But we're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer, always in order, and we're going to go right into the Word of God. Amen. Just so excited to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight.
In my soul. I don't know how many of y'all know this, but yeah, he's a wonder, he's a wonder, he's a wonder, yes, he is. He's down in my soul. Oh, yeah, he's a wonder, he's an awesome wonder, he's an awesome wonder in my soul.
Hallelujah.
Have your way.
your way, Lord. I'm your way, Lord. Need the Lord, God.
I dare you to invite him in your space and say, have your way, Lord. In my home, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. In my body, in my mind.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 yes, God.
Anyway, I don't know about you, but I pray this prayer all the time. Anoint me, Lord.
Anoint me, Lord. Hallelujah.
Anoint me, Lord. Anoint me, Lord.
Yes, God. Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
And when God blesses you, that's a prophetic word for some of you. When God blesses you, I gotta go over here because the Bible says, according to thy faith, he has done unto you.
Yes.
We don't walk by what we see, but we walk by what we believe. So I'm going to say the inevitable word called when and declare it in your life, in your circumstance, in your house, in your family,
yes,
with your kids.
Yes.
God blesses you.
Yes.
And he brings you out of
yes,
it. And he delivers you from it.
Yes.
He takes you through it.
Thank you.
He takes you from it.
Thank
you. He helps you over. When God says it.
Amen. 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 I'm sorry. Praise the Lord, everybody. We're going to be reading from the scripture reading will come from Psalms chapter 8. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, even and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I have just read you from Psalms 8, and I've read the entire chapter. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come now, Lord, just repenting, confessing and repenting, asking your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I just come right now and I bind the strong man, first of all, from our radio broadcast. I bind the strong man from our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I bind the strong man in the name of Jesus and I cast him out. And I command him to go in the name of Jesus. We first of all just come giving you praise and glory. We honor you tonight, Lord. We just thank you for the word. Lord, I ask you to just bless the doers of your most holy word on tonight, God. I just give you glory. We give you praise. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Keep them all covered in their families up under the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them today, every day, God. In the name of Jesus, we come right now asking you right now to bless our radio broadcast on tonight. I ask you right now to just open our minds up, clear our minds, in the name of Jesus. Open our hearts that we may be receptive and receive your word, Lord. Don't put a limit on nothing that you have to say or nothing you have to show us. Lord, I pray about these dreams and visions that we're studying, Lord. And I just thank you for opening up our minds that we may interpret our dreams and visions on tonight. But I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister and teach us on tonight, because I can't do nothing of myself. It's only through Christ that I can do anything, God. So I'm willing to decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us and minister to us on tonight. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just thank God tonight. I thank God. I'm excited about this word on tonight. I'm excited about dreams and visions tonight. I just give God praise and glory and honor on tonight. I'm gonna talk a little bit about it. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about it. And then I'm going to tell you about the dream that I had and then what came of the dream that I had. So, amen. So we're at the state where we're talking about emotions in dreams. We have seen our emotions as they are felt while we are dreaming. See, we still have feelings in dreams. So we have our emotions, and they are significant. The emotional response to the message after we wake up can be misleading. For example, if we dream of a person's death and in the dream we are at peace or even rejoicing, it does not follow that God is saying that the person will die. In fact, if the person is lost, dreaming of this of his death may foretell of his repentance and a consequential salvation. Because what I'm saying is, if somebody dreaming that the person is dying and he's seeking salvation, he's seeking God, that means that old man gonna die and that new person gonna come to life. Although such a dream would trouble us upon awakening, the key to understanding what a dream is saying is always found in the emotions we feel while we are dreaming. Colors are important when we dream. They are important. The scripture for that is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Although most of our dreams are in black and white, sometimes certain colors, objects appear in them. Colors are symbolic, supplying additional information about the object that are colored. For example, if you previously owned a blue car of a certain model and you dreamed of owning and driving that same car, God is probably talking to you about your past. This because you had the car, blue car back then. And so that's in the past. The blue car represents an earlier period of your life, although not necessarily the exact time when you owned the car. But it was back then. It was in your past. On the other hand, if you dream you are driving a blue car that is yours, but in real life you have never owned such a car, then the color has a different meaning. The color blue simply identifies the car as something that is part of your past. In the second opinion or option, The color blue is referring to the spiritual aspect of your present life or ministry. And I have a dream dictionary, and it have colors. It have, let me see, what does the book have? It have different things in this book. It have automobiles. It have, let me see, that's miscellaneous. And then I have vehicles and the parts in the vehicles. And I have, it's a biblical dictionary. I have people, relatives, and trades. I have numbers, metals. Metals is M-E-T-A-L-S. Directions, colors. Buildings, rooms, and places. And so I can just about animals, birds, fish, insects. And that's, and I have other stuff, questions, a whole lot of other stuff in my dictionary. But when you dreaming of, for that, I can look that up in my dictionary, a blue automobile. We just going to keep going. Literal, and if anybody have any questions about a dream or a vision, please let me know, because I can help interpret your dream and vision with the help of God, because I don't know anything. But God knows everything. And then with the dictionary and the word of God here, God will give me a chance to do it. So we're talking about dreams. We just finished talking about how important colors are. And they are significant. Numbers are too. Another common problem in solving the riddles offered to us by dreams is that of discerning when a dream is symbolic, which is a parable, and when it is literal. As a general rule, if a dream can be taken literally, it should be. If there is something in a dream that is not literal, however, then the entire dream should be interpreted as if the object and sometimes even the people it contains are symbols. Now, literal means representing the exact word of the original text. It's like a true to the fact. And symbols mean using or giving a symbol or representing something. A symbol is like representing something. So another common problem in the riddles is to be dreams, we have to have discernment. If you dream you are driving the car you really own to the job you presently have, and that you are involved in an accident on the street on which you actually work, then you should pray for God to prevent this from happening to you and drive carefully. Now, there will normally be a key, a clue or something in each dream that will reveal whether it is literal or symbolic. So, just like my car is blue, and I'm driving it, and I dream that I'm driving this Mercedes, and it's my Mercedes. And I dreamed that I had an accident on the same street I work on. Then I'm going to pray for God to block this accident. And you know, you can pray, and I have prayed and changed the weather. And God sent it somewhere else. Don't tell me what God won't do. I live. You know, he's done it for me. He'll do it for you. So you can pray. If God allows you to see something before it happens, pray that it won't happen. Pray that it won't happen. You know, sometimes, but we have to pray for discernment. That's the key. It really is the key. Because I'm going to tell you the dream I had today. And I've told a few of y'all, but I'm going to tell you the dream I had today. I had got up at 3 o'clock. I prayed 4 hours. I took my vital signs and went back to bed. When I went to sleep, it just, when I be dreaming, because I don't dream a lot, but when I do, it be just so messed up. It's like I can't remember whether I'm woke or not. And that's how Paul was. He don't know whether he was in the body or out. I can't tell. So I don't know whether I was awake or asleep. I was telling Apostle Dean, Apostle Ed, I said, I need you to tell me what supply store to get a case of these toilet bowl tabs that make your water blue. Now, this, I don't know what I'm talking about, believe me, but I said this. And then I turned over and went back to sleep. I went to sleep. No, I turned over and went to sleep because I hadn't been up since 3 o'clock. And it was after 7 o'clock. So when I went to sleep, I started dreaming about this snake. And this was a rattlesnake. And he was showing me the snake. And he was like rubbing like it was a pet or something. And this thing was shaking its tail and stuff. I said, honey, you know when you dream of a snake, it's an enemy. That ain't good. And he said, no, he all right. I said, no, I don't know about that. Went on. I don't know whether I woke up then or what. I can't remember, but I dreamed. I went right back into the dream and dreamed about this same snake in Apostle Ed. And I dreamed again. He was showing me this snake. He was like, I said, it's back again? Like that, you know, just, it was just so messed up to me. So today, when I took it to him, because it bothered me so bad, that's why I told a few people, it bothered me so bad, I went to him, I said, did I tell you about the snake dream I dreamed? He said, no. I said, I dreamed you were showing me a snake, a rattlesnake in the house, and it was big, it was laying all on you. He said, I dreamed about snakes last night. He said, I dreamed about a snake that my mother, when I was a boy, my mother had a snake, and she would always, and my grandmother had a snake, and they would feed the snake, and they didn't do nothing. They didn't run him away because he was eating up the rats and the coons and whatever was coming, animal and stuff, and they would feed him too. He said, I don't know, my dad or my uncle, whoever it was, they wouldn't take the snake away. They left him there, and he would live up under our house. And he said he had dreamed all night about that. And so I don't know whether I picked the dream up from him or what happened. I had to because he dreamed about it first. I didn't start dreaming about no snake till after 7 o'clock this morning. He had already dreamed about it. So I just picked it up from him, and he was dreaming. This is what I get. He was dreaming, and after I didn't pray for, I picked it up, his dream about a snake, and he was in the dream. So it was the Lord was telling me he was dreaming about a snake or whatever. I've had visions like that with him where we would be talking, laying across the bed, and if he touched me, I could see almost like I'm seeing through his eyes. And so the one time he touched me and I saw him when he was young and was in the Coast Guard and he had his white suit on. And I said, and he had them Jerry curls. And so I said, who is this I'm seeing? He said, what did it look like? And I explained, he said, that's me. in my uniform. Well, I wasn't asleep then. It was a vision, and God was letting me see him then. But that's real complicated. I don't even want to take y'all there for it, because that was something that God does with me when he get ready. And then another thing happened just last Thanksgiving when Mimi and Ray and myself, I think, was at the kitchen table, and I had an out-of-body experience. I didn't know whether I was in the body. I can't remember a whole lot of that, but they say I did. It slid on my bad knees. Ain't no way. But, you know, it happened. You know, I can't do nothing but take their word for it that it happened, because they were standing right there, and Ray Ray, she said right then, Prophetess Ray Ray said right then, she said, Grant, I think you had, that was spiritual or something. She said, I was like, oh my God, because I was, when they told me I slid around the corner, I was like, what? On my knees? Honey, I probably wouldn't even been walked for 2 weeks, but it happened. So you have to know and have discernment, not know, but just ask God for discernment when it comes to dreams. Now, a lot of times we don't know what they mean, but we can ask God to show us what he's trying to tell us, because most of the time when we're dreaming, it's basically about us. I can tell you what I thought about that snake dream. A snake is an enemy, always have been. A snake going to be a snake. A snake will let you rub and feed it, everything. But in the end, he going to bite you or eat you up. He is an enemy, believe me. And so it was right here in this house. So I felt like God was showing me the enemy been right here in this house. And then he brought it back to me again, right here in this house. So I have to watch who I allow in my house. You understand? So, and it ain't, you know, it ain't just started being here in my house. You know, when you all don't come, you can count on one hand who come here to this house. But it's an enemy being here. It might be my next door neighbor, because he don't really care for granddad, because granddad don't play. So he don't, you know, he think he should be talking when he don't. Granddad don't talk. So it might be him. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, been in this house, and it ain't, and it's been very recent, because then God wouldn't be showing me dreams. Now, and I had Celestine, and Celeste was over here Sunday, and I showed Celeste my basement, my storage room in my basement, so she could see. You know, you just don't know. You have to pray and ask God to show you things, and then it could be something totally different. How that, because when Apostle Dean touched me, then I felt lethargic and stuff. So, you know, it's just something I have to pray about. And God, he going to show me. God going to show me what it is. He don't let stuff sneak up on me like that. He show me my dreams, because I stay on him, and I bring it back to his remembrance. That's what we have to do. We can't let it pass, and we got to write it down. We got to write it down. So, changeable or unchangeable, regardless of whether a dream is literal or a parable, there are several scriptures explains that show us that when necessary, we can change the outcome from that in the dream. The situation a dream reveals or foretells can usually be changed through prayer. And like I told you, you can change things. When I tell you prayer changes things, and it changes circumstances and situations. Prayer, if you pray about it, God will change it for you. If you, I mean, a lot of times you don't, I mean, we all pray different. I just say that. But I pray. I thought in my mind, sometimes I don't get to go and pray like I like to pray. So, but I go to God in my mind. Like I was telling you, the little things that God do for me, I don't take it for granted. When I was telling you, I was real concerned about them weeds in the back. And when the lawn service, they don't usually get off of their machine and go cut the weeds down. But he did, because I had been told God and asked God about it. And he had him to cut that stuff down the same day. And I could hear him clearly say, "What concerns you concerns me." And he did something else for me that I was just bugging Apostle about. I kept bugging and bugging him. When I knew anything, it was happening again. He was like, "See that, Deb? It's happening again." I know it because I go unto God. I don't go trying to figure it out and mess with it none. But if you go to God about things that you want, the things, that the desires of your heart, you know, because people, they'll try to make you look bad. They'll try to think you, you know, just don't know what you're talking about or won't even believe what you're saying. And I have so many experience and testimonies on how God has blessed and did things until when I tell you, it'll take me all day to tell you. But when you can go to God and ask him, and hear what them women in the back in the day, they hear about a tornado coming and down Tornado Alley now in Oklahoma and different places, and they'll start praying. And they'll get the prayer warriors together and ask God to send that tornado another direction, that it won't tear their houses up. When I tell you, tornado go another way. You can't tell me when you pray, God will do it for you, regardless of whether a dream is literal or a parable. There are several scriptures explaining that. Shows us that when necessary, we can change the outcome from that in the dream. Okay, I'm finna read this. "Thus have the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land in the dream of vision, then I saw, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repented of this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus have the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did eat up a port. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. The Lord repent for this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God." That's in Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. One can see from the example quoted from Amos chapter 7, that Amos' intercession changed God's mind concerning destroying the nation of Israel. He changed his mind by praying. Like the prophecy given by Jonah against Nineveh, dreams often warn of impending trouble or danger. These warnings are given so that we can pray and, when necessary, repent. Prayer changes things. See, you can pray. See, warning comes from before destruction. Warning comes before destruction. You can pray when he warns you. You can pray and change the situation. A lot of times you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. But you got to pray. Whatever warning he's showing you, whatever it is you feel in your spirit, you can pray. You can pray. And you can pray and change that situation. Pray about it. And God will do it just for you because you would, because see, what people don't realize, God wants us to depend on him. So you need to start going to God for more than what you go to him for because he wants you to lean on him. You know, we're supposed to be asking the Holy Spirit every day, should we go this way or should we go that way? Should I go to the store or should I wait till later? What you think, Holy Spirit? What should I do? You know, he wants us to depend on him just like that. You know, should I do this or should I? If we ask, he'll tell us. We have to get used to asking God, consulting the Holy Spirit about everything we do and say, when to be quiet, when to say something. They will let you know what to do and what to say, when to do it, how to do it. I remember sometimes the Lord was showing me, and I've seen him show Pastor Dean how to do things. We'd be sitting around here, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And honey, in a dream or a vision, he'll tell us just how to do it. Just how to do it, and you go right on and do it. And he'll go right on and do it, just like he showed them to. And it happens just like that. But you got to be so intimate with God and so close to him that he'll just go right on and show you what you need to know. Many times this happens. So prayer changes things. Don't ever forget that. It changes things, circumstances, situations. Prayer. Do we have any comments or any questions about anything so far? Okay. Next is repetition dreams. Sometimes as we meditate on a dream, we realize that we have dreamed the same thing before. The second dream may not always use the same objects or people, yet the same hidden message is right there, is apparent. An example of this is found in the two dreams of Pharaoh mentioned in the preceding chapter. In the first dream, he dreamed seven cows ate seven other cows. In the second dream, he dreamed seven ears of corn ate seven other ears of corn. The two dreams use different symbols, yet they obviously contain the same message. So Joseph declared that the repetition of the message means it was established of God. In other words, it would certainly happen. From this, we can see that repetition dreams are especially important. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So God was showing him, he showed it to him twice. He showed it to him twice. Just like I dreamed about that snake, twice. What's the message? What is the message in the snake dream? Because I told it to him. I can't even, I don't really know whether I woke up and said it or went back to sleep. But what I know, I dreamed that dream twice in one morning, and it's a message in there, and I don't know, I'm trying not to take it the wrong way, but it's a message in that dream, and this came from Genesis 41, verses 25 and 32, because, and it skips like that, because it happened, he showed it to him one time, and then went over to chapter 25, and then he showed it to him again in chapter 32. Okay. Understanding symbolic dreams and parables. Understanding. All things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Matthew 13:34. Jesus gave an example for understanding symbols in the parable of the sower. And y'all remember the sower is in Matthew 13:34. Because most dreams are parables, the method he used is this: to decipher this parable is also the proper way to unravel the mystery of dreams. Because Jesus said that the parable of the sower explain the way to interpret all parables. Okay, let me read it. And this comes from Matthew 13:34. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." We know what a sower is when you sow into something. When you sow into a ministry, when you sow into a church, when you sow into a person, when you give money, when you sowing, sometimes you sow money, sometimes you sow time, sometimes you sow material things. And it says, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony grounds where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100 fold from sowing. And he said unto them, "He that have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven." And their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? By comparing the thoughts obtained from my dictionary with Jesus' interpretation, you can see that he simply replaced each symbol in the parable with its respective meaning, and usually one word or the thought contained in that word was sufficient to give them the understanding. The sower is the preacher. Sow it. Preach it. You hear me? The sower in that passage is the preacher. The sow it, that sow it, preaches the word. Seeds. And these are they by the wayside. And so he sowed the word. And these are they that fell by the wayside. So the preacher sowed, the sower is the preacher. So the preacher was preaching the word, and the word is the seed. So some of the seed he was preaching fell by the wayside. Okay. And where the word is sown, but when they have heard Satan, the fowl, cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart, who when they have heard the word immediately, receive it with gladness, the joy of salvation, and have no root, and have no conviction or steadfastness in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And that means afterwards, when afflicted means trouble, or persecuted, or persecution, that means opposition, rejection, etc., arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, this came from Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, and I just gave you the description of that parable. The sower, it says, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It was the preacher to preach the word, and it came to pass as he sowed, as he preached the word, some of that word fell by the wayside, and the fowl, the devil of the air, came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. Some fell on hard-heartedness. Your heart was hard. Where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Immediately received it with gladness. That means the joy of salvation. Because it had no death of the earth, no death is D-E-P-T-H. Y'all know I'm country. The death of the earth. And immediately, okay. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because of it had no roots, it wasn't rooted and grounded in the word. It had no nothing to hold on, no foundation to hold on it. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. Let me see, I'm trying to look for the word for it. And it yielded no fruit. Let me see. Okay, it received and brought forth fruit, some 30. Okay, but it yielded no fruit, and some and others fell on good ground, and it yielded fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, 60, and 100 fold. And these are which are sown among thorns, the death, the natural responsibilities, etc., such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word. That's what it said. It fell on among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. The word choked out the word. It hindered its fulfillment or performance, and it became unfruitful. See, God wanted us to understand these parables, because Jesus spoke and taught in parables all the time. So we need to basically understand dreams, visions, and parables. Because when you read the word of God, a lot of that's in parables, and you should have an open mind, even when you dream it now. In your vision, they may come in parables. You have to look. That's why a lot of times we can't understand them. What they talking about? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? Because a lot of your dreams and visions, God speaks in parables all the time. And like I said, I got a dictionary, a keyword dictionary, that a lot of these things in, a lot of the parables, the keywords are in for everything. I mean, it's thick. So I can look at it, and when you have a dream or vision or, you know, or something like that, God bless me to help. I'm not anyone. It's God. It's not me. I'm just being used as a vessel. And it says, when we do this, we can see that 30 folds mean conform and therefore accept it. 60 means image, and 100 means fullness, or in this case, full measure. Therefore, we can paraphrase the last sentence of the above verse in this way, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, because they are conformed to his image and likeness. For this reason, they are abundantly fruitful. Now, that's awesome. That's awesome, because that parable from this, it says 30, 60, or 100 folds. It just broke down this parable as these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, because they are conformed to his image and likeness. For this reason, they are abundantly fruitful. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. That's Romans 8:29. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:13. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you should ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. John 15:7-8. See, when I caught that scripture, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I repeated that thing, I guess, about 50 times and let it sink into my heart. If God abide, if I abide in God and his word abide in me, I can ask him whatever I will, and it shall be done unto me. So I use this scripture so much, because if I'm in him and his word is in me, it can't fail. Ain't no failure in it at all, because I'm in Christ and his word is buried in my heart. And so whatever it is, I can go to God and say, Lord, I need you to do this. I need healing for this. I need this and this. I need you to cover my family. I need you to bless my husband. Whatever it is, I can go to Christ, because I'm abiding in him and his word is abiding in me. Parable. When you catch these parables and you catch that word before Satan try to snatch it, you better put it in your heart and know it's there and use it and use it and use it. And that's what I do. That's my verse right there, because I know I'm in him and his word is in me. I know that. Nobody has to tell me that. I know it. When I taught that thing, I had then repeated it about 30 times, just over and over and over. It was a few verses I used to just go over every day, every day, every day, every day. And I would read each one of them 16 times every day, every day. And this is one of those scriptures. And when I tell you, when that thing got down in my spirit, in my heart, God said, you got it. And every time I read it, I could feel the anointing burning my back of my head up. His anointing fell so heavy on me because I had got it. I got it. And I still have it. So I hope everybody, anyone have any questions? Do you have any concerns, anything that you want to talk about when it comes to dreams and visions? Because we can go over it. You know, we can whatever it is. Do you have any questions, concerns? Do you have anything, you know, you want to talk about when it concerning visions and dreams? We're going to come back with the positives or negatives, the good or bad in dreams and visions. And it's going to be a while on dreams and visions. And really know that now you studying it, you're going to start having more dreams and more visions. And God's going to teach you to understand these parables. That's mostly important. But you're going to have, keep your mind open, especially when you dream. Don't forget to write it down. The color, everything in the vision or dream is important. The colors, what you see, not the year, but was it back when you was young or, you know, or when now, present day, or was it in the future? Who did you see in the dream? You know, what the colors were, all of that matters. So when you dream like that, as much as you can remember, write it down. And if you don't understand it, we'll go through it. And we are interpreted by the grace of God. We're getting ready to close out.
Apostle, before you close out, I just want to say thank you for helping us on this, because I didn't know nothing about, everything having meaning to it. All the dreams and stuff have a meaning to it. And it's it has been more and more into it. It's like I have more and more visions, more dreams. God's been showing me more things. And I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you and I thank you. But I had a dream. Me and my husband had our official wedding. And we both had on orange. And it was like just an orange theme, I guess. And I didn't understand. So I'm just like, I wonder what this dream is about. And God just said, it's the color. So I'm like, okay, so I just wanted to know what the color meant.
Okay.
The color orange.
Okay. Okay. Orange. The color orange means energy, great jeopardy. It's a common color combination. It's orange. It was just orange?
Yes, ma'am. It was orange and like different color oranges, but the main color was orange.
It said different color orange. It said a bright or a fry orange equal to power.
It was a bright orange.
It means power, force, energy, energetic. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, I'm just reading what's up on it is. But can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? But anyway, I'm going to read this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Fire is orange. That's Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22. And then another scripture here says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? That's Proverbs chapter 6, 27. But this bright or fire orange equal to power, force, energy, and energetic. That's what that orange color means. Now, I'm going to look up later, I'm going to look up wedding. And I don't even know what to look up in this thing, but I'm going to find out when you dream of a wedding, what does it mean?
Okay.
And then I'll get back with you on it, but it means something. I'm telling you, it means something. But that's good. It's good. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And you're going to be having more dreams and visions. You're going to have more dreams and visions because we studied in God. This is a message from God. He wants us to study dreams and visions so he can speak to us more and clearer. So be looking forward. That's good. That's good because it's going to explain even the more to you. So I'm going to get ready to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord. We just thank you for our Bible class on tonight. Father, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. In the blood of Jesus, I ask you to cover their families. In the blood of Jesus, cover the cars and the vehicles they drive. Cover the bus and the train and the plane they own, Lord. Just cover in the blood of Jesus and encamp angels all around their homes and about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, we just give you praise on tonight. We give you glory. We thank you for our broadcast. We thank you for your anointing on our broadcast on tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit be with you all, with all of us. Amen. God bless you all. If you have any questions or if you dream anything and you need to talk to me before Bible class, give me a call. God bless you. I love you. God love you too. Have a good night.
Amen. Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been trying to reach you. Everything okay?
Everything pretty good. I didn't know you were trying to reach me.
Yeah, it goes straight to your voicemail.
It does.
When I try to call, it goes straight to your voicemail.
Did you leave me a message?
I was just calling to touch bases with you. I didn't want anything particular, but, you know, I did have some things, you know.
Did you leave me a message?
Whenever you have time, I need to address and pray for it, you know.
Okay, did you leave me a message?
I can't remember the last time I called, because I think the last time I called, it might have been like last week or the week before last, and I think it went to your voicemail. I don't know if I left a message or not. I usually do.
I'll call you when I get upstairs. Okay?
Okay.
I'll call you when I get upstairs.
Yes, ma'am. God bless. Okay.
All right. You all have a good night.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.